First, we're less than 5 months away from the presidential election, and disinformation and conspiracy theories are spreading on social media, much like they did before the 2016 election. But there are some new tools and tricks. One launching pad they're using more often is private Facebook groups. As our next guest wrote in a recent piece for Wired, Facebook groups are meant to give people a way to share mutual interests without a lot of outside noise, and those same features make them vulnerable to fake news and false info. Cindy Otis is a former CIA officer and a fellow at the Atlantic Council's Digital Forensics Research Lab. She's the author of the forthcoming book, True or False, a CIA Analyst's Guide to Spotting Fake News. Cindy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Nina Jankowicz is disinformation fellow at the Wilson Center. She's author of the book, How to Lose the Information War, Russia, Fake News, and the Future of Conflict. Nina, welcome to Central Time.
Great to be here.
Cindy, a lot of times we focus on disinformation coming from Russia or Macedonia. And while that's a real deal, you in this piece and elsewhere have said we're getting pretty good at disinforming ourselves. Can you talk, before we dig into Facebook, at how big misinformation is domestically?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge issue. You know, Russia is getting a lot of headlines, and rightly so. Their interference in the 2016 election was significant. But so much of disinformation and misinformation is occurring and being created right here at home by Americans themselves. In fact, the vast majority of what we see as disinformation circulating is coming from Americans. And that's a huge opportunity for foreign countries like Russia to take advantage of false content that's being created by Americans themselves in English, you know, understanding all the nuances of our politics and all sort of the cultural context here at home. You know, when you're Russia, that's great. You can simply take advantage of all of the stuff that's being created and simply slip into sort of an amplification role.
Nina, these Facebook groups, they've gotten big over the last few years that, you know, families can have groups, common interests. There are board game groups and cooking groups and whatever. What made these groups ripe for the spread of misinformation?
Well, I think the most important thing to understand is that they're organized by interest. So there's a lot of positive interests, like the ones that you just named. I personally am a member of a cute dog group, right? That's great. But there are also groups that are organized around political inclinations or conspiracy theories. And these are the ones that are being targeted by bad actors, whether they're foreign or domestic. And sometimes they are private or closed, which means that they're subject to a lot less oversight than the typical stuff that's out there in the open, and means that, you know, campaigns can be organized under the guise of a closed group where information can be amplified and spread. And people are more likely to trust these groups because over time they have seen that this is their community. There's also a problem that, you know, Facebook is using this as part of their business model. They had this pivot to privacy in 2018 after the Cambridge Analytica scandal, and they are incentivizing people to join more of these groups. You join one, you get suggestions to join more of them. And oftentimes they're very radicalizing and indoctrinating, and people need to be aware about this.
Cindy, what are some of the examples of conspiracy theories or fake political news you've seen taking hold in the group setting?
There's a whole host, and especially right now, amid the pandemic and you know, national unrest, we're sort of in a ripe situation for disinformation and misinformation to circulate. So some of the ones that we're seeing lately have a lot to do with the pandemic. Conspiracy theories about 5G potentially being involved in spreading the pandemic, you know, the creation of the pandemic has been a source of conspiracy theories, and a lot of, you know, false, misleading, and conspiracy sort of content is coming out about unrest, as I mentioned. So who's behind protests? Are there secret groups that are, you know, trying to take advantage of national unrest? And certainly another big topic that we've seen spreading across Facebook groups is the conspiracy of there being, you know, an Obamagate or, you know, a narrative that the Obama administration illegally spied against, you know, people associated with the Trump campaign. That's taken off a lot in Facebook groups. And part of that is because, you know, Facebook groups are often set up by a small group of people that then are also running multiple websites and pages as well that are all linked together. And they essentially then hammer these groups and pages with this content over and over and over again, essentially flooding the system. And most participants and groups don't realize that that's happening.
And Nina, does it seem, I don't know, more reliable if I'm seeing this post in a group that I joined voluntarily of people with common interests versus something that appeared randomly as a paid ad?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head with the problem there. People are trusting these groups more because they are people with common interests. They are peers. You've joined them voluntarily, as you said, and Facebook is also feeding you these notifications. You join one of these groups, you'll get a million notifications a day. Some of them have hundreds, if not thousands, of posts a day of this sort of information. And Facebook's notifying people many, many times when these posts are being shared. So again, it's incentivized, people trust the environment more, and their guards are down a little bit. Groups aren't the only places that this can happen. It can also happen on encrypted messaging platforms, but it's where a lot of Americans are getting information and getting seeking out connection at this point in time, especially during the pandemic.
We're talking to Cindy Otis and Nina Jankowicz about Facebook groups as a road to bad information, fake information, and conspiracy theories. Cindy, I think sometimes we think of Facebook as this big, adorable puppy that's generally a lot of fun and sometimes, you know, chews up our democracy a little bit by accident. But do we know what Facebook knows? Have they been aware of these problems, even if they haven't really said so publicly?
So we do know that Facebook has been aware of these problems. There was a recent investigation in the Wall Street Journal that revealed that there was a report in which Facebook's own assessment was that these groups had very polarizing tendencies, and that in particular, one of the biggest problems was the recommendations function. So when you're in a group or you're on a page, you know, what does it recommend you follow or like after that group because of your interest in that group or page? And the analysis showed that this function was essentially leading people to more and more extreme groups and pages on political issues, conspiracy issues, et cetera. So they have been aware for quite some time about how the algorithm works, how the infrastructure of the platform has, you know, led to further polarization in this country and others. So absolutely, they've been aware for quite some time.
And Nina, what would you like to see Facebook do to try to rein in the spread of this information via their groups?
I think the thing that's most important to Cindy and I is that Facebook be more transparent, not only about groups, but about all of their business practices. We are in an unprecedented information environment. People are just really going upstream against a barrage of information that's being sent their way, and they are seeking that information out. You know, people are uncertain about what's happening with coronavirus. There are so many things that people want more information about, and they're only getting half the picture on Facebook right now. We don't know sometimes who is behind a network of groups or pages. You shouldn't need an investigative open source journalism degree or to be an expert like me or Cindy to be able to navigate this stuff. You should be able to look at a group, understand who's behind it, understand if you're seeing an ad, where that ad's coming from. All of this stuff is really important, and right now it's under wraps. We need to arm people with information in order to be able to navigate this. And then finally, you know, groups are supposed to be these private communities that people interact in, the digital living room, quote unquote. I think Mark Zuckerberg actually used those words once. And I don't think any living room can fit 5,000 people or 10,000 or hundreds of thousands of people. And that's how big some of these groups are that are closed and private. And I think after a certain amount of people, Cindy and I have suggested 5,000, Facebook not offer that cover of privacy to folks that might be using the platform for ulterior motives. And I think that's, you know, all we can ask for. Then researchers like us can uncover the stuff that is happening and make sure people are aware of it as we head into a critical election.
We heard from Neil on Facebook, who says, when I do see something that I question, I Google it, find out if it's true or the date it happened. When it's false, I report it. I often tell the person posting it so they can take it down. Cindy, in our last minute or so, give us some hygiene tips, some web hygiene tips as we find false info on Facebook groups.
Absolutely. Those are great steps to take that Neil outlined. A lot of it comes down to just looking into where is your information coming from. Part of that is the responsibility of Facebook to be more transparent, as Nina mentioned, but a lot of that is just going to have to come down to each individual user to do a bit of fact checking themselves, a little bit of investigation to see the sources of information, making sure that we're not sharing content from random accounts that aren't citing their own sources that we can't verify, and just being smarter in how we share information and where we're sharing the information from, what sources are we going to. This is really an all of us problem.
Cindy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
And Nina, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you.
We've been talking to Cindy Otis, former CIA officer and cybersecurity expert, and Nina Jankowicz, disinformation fellow at the Wilson Center. They talked with us about how Facebook groups have become launching pads for fake news and conspiracy theories online. We both have books coming out or just out on related issues. Watch this space. We may talk to them individually about their new books as well.